Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to receive insight to your word, that we may know you by all the resurrection, fellowship of your suffering. Thank you, dear Father, because you grant to us insight, complicated as it were to the mind, many-sided wisdom in your Son Jesus, and we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. All right, this morning we started looking at the Bible doctrine on tithe. Tithing, I think. The myth, the practice, and the malpractice. Hallelujah. You have the exam malpractice. You also have tithing malpractice. Like I said, I have to first of all complain that I didn't want to do this. Because naturally, I just don't feel any force over the issue of tithe. But I discovered that the one I taught 2007 is not so audible. It is, but not so good. And so I was forced last night, yesterday evening, to teach on this. So this is a reluctant message. I'm telling you ahead of time, in case you find out I'm not excited about it. Just to tell you that I was compelled to teach it. I'm not sure I'm going to finish in this session, which is the funny part about it. So I said, but why aren't you teaching tithe? Paul didn't mention it once, not even as a joke. He couldn't even say, greet tithe for me. Something like that. You know, something that, you know, those ones are not exactly instructions, but greet tithe for me. He didn't even say that. But here we are. Teaching on it. Why? That's just destiny. As it is right now. Because some guys are just hooked up to it till eternity. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. And we said that word teaching is explanation, which is basically from the Old Testament. In other words, we teach from the Old Testament. Teaching is possible from the Old Testament. We teach. Then it says reproof, which is the word evidence, to give proof. Then you have correction. And then instruction in righteousness, which is for spiritual growth. Now, one important thing about the Old Testament that you must do is a learn to read the Old Testament. What did I say? Come on, talk to me. What? Learn to read it. Many folks don't like reading it. But you must learn to read it. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel chapter 12 said that to those folks. Verse 3, we read a couple of times. Verse 3, they asked him why. In verse 2, your disciples did what is not lawful upon the Sabbath day. Then he said to them, have you not read what David did? Not what he said, but what he did. When he was hungry, and they that were with him. Then in verse 5, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So that means, have you not read? So the next thing he says in 7 is, if you have not known what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. So, he talks about reading, which is the word anaginosko, not to glance, but to actually read it. I was saying the first service, many of us can just read. If you can just learn to read the Bible, you will know. Because oftentimes we want the pastor to read for you. But the pastor shouldn't read for you. You should read for yourself. The pastor can teach you, but you should read. So if you read it, for example, on the subject of tithe, all that was needed for many Christians over the years was just to have read. And in the morning, we saw some very clear truths. Did you see it? Very clear truth. You don't even need the Spirit of God to show you what we saw this morning. Just to be an unbeliever, just be intelligent enough, you'll see what we saw. The tithe was never money. Right? You know what's like that? It was never money. And when some folks say it's because there was no money then, and we said we debunked that, we did that, did we? That's not true. Tithing was never money. Jesus never spoke about tithe as money. Matthew 23:23. Now in the first service, we had four groupings. I'm just revising what I said earlier in the morning. The first group is tithe before the law. Genesis 14, remember? 17 to 20. The other one is tithe during the law. Leviticus 27. Right? Then the third will be tithing in the four Gospels. Matthew 23:23. Luke's Gospel 11:42. And Luke 18 from verse 10 to 13. And then the fourth one will be tithe mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 7:1 to 11 or 17. Now, we said that the first two, the second two, that's number two and number three columns, they are the same. Remember? Because Jesus said it was a matter of the law. And we said that the law only came by Moses. And since tithe preceded the law, we cannot say Jesus was quoting what Abraham did because Abraham didn't have a law. So we can only group column 2 and column 3 together. Remember that. I gave you words. Remember? Decatu. Apple, decatu. Remember that? Remember that? To give it, to take it, and a 10%. Three words. To give it, to take it, and 10%. I gave you distinctions of those words earlier on. Now, the fourth group will be, the fourth column is Hebrews 7. So we can say, The fourth column, since it refers to the first story, Genesis 14, we can merge the fourth column and the first column together. Does it make sense? Then the second and the third will be together. So earlier today, in the first service, we did look at how the tithe was done. We discovered that all the time the tithe was done, it had to do with either farm produce, seedlings, and things like that. In fact, what Jesus mentioned were spices, like curry, you know, and all that. We saw that earlier. Now let's move further a bit. The first person, because you have people, most of what we're doing here, apart from the fact of explaining tithe, is to be able to dissolve doubts. For example, people have spoken about Abel. There's a more damnable one, but this is a fear. You know, you still have a good part of a bad thing, but there's some you don't mention them at all. Maybe I should. I've heard people say, for example, that the reason why Adam sinned was because he ate the tithe. That's not just damnable, that's satanic. Do you understand? So let's leave that one. It's not worth talking about. You just mention it and then ask for forgiveness of sins. The second one is the issue of Abel. And, you know, not difficult, but you see, you can make things complicated even though they are written in black and white. It's clear that Abel gave, verse 4, Genesis 4:4, the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, notice, how did he give it? Who did he give it to? There was no priest. So who ate it? No, there was no priest. So, if Abel gave it, he gave it to who? Not his dad? Sure not. And not his mom. So, how were they offering animals here? It's not difficult. Chapter 8, you see, it was done by Noah. And what did Noah do? Chapter 8. Noah. Chapter 8. Verse 20. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. Lord smelled a sweet savor. Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anyone anymore, everything living as I have done. So obviously, this was like a burnt offering that he did. So, now, not difficult to see this because Hebrews 11 clarifies what he did. When this is repeated in Hebrews 11, it was never called tithe or first fruit. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 4. All right. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaks. By faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So whatever he did was a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was done in symbolic fashion. It wasn't done in literal form. And Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant, New Testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Again, what was in emphasis there was the offering, the blood, by faith. That's good. So, we don't have much excuse around this because there's nothing about tithe is mentioned. So, there's no point making it sound the way it's not. So, Genesis 14 will be the next place. That we'll see. Now earlier on in the first service, I read to you historical books that lets us see that tithe was an historical practice that preceded Abraham. Remember that? It wasn't something that had Abraham. So Abraham just did what was a norm in his days. But before that, let's look at Genesis 14. Or maybe after that. Genesis 14. Because Genesis 14 is Hebrews 7. Is that clear? Is that clear? So Genesis 14. It's very easy to just say verse 20. And he blessed the most, blessed be the most high God who delivered the enemies into thy hands. And he gave him tithes of all. Now what exactly happened here? Abraham or Abraham, whatever, came back, whichever one, came back from war. Came back from war. What war? In verse 8, right? In fact, in verse 2 or verse 1, in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Iroch, king of Elasa, Cheldama, king of Elam, and Tyler, king of nations. This made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinar, king of Adma, and Shemabah, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together as a team, that they teamed up like a confederate of army in the vale of Sidim, which is in the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Cheldama, and the 13th year they rebelled. So they were under him before, and then they rebelled. And in the 14th year, Cheldama and the kings that were with him, and smote the rebels in Ashtaroth, Canaim, and the Zushims in Ham, and Emimims in Sheva, Kiriathim. And the Horites in the Mount Seir in the Ephraim, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in the Hazazon Tamar. And they came out, and they went out, the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the name, the same is Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Sidim. With Chodama, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amaphel, king of Shinar, and Arok, king of Elasa, 4 kings with 5. That means there were 9 kings discussed. 4 against 5. Depends on, 4 against 5. And the vale of Shittim and full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. They ran, that's what it means. Fled means they ran. And fell there, and they were remained, and there they remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom after, as the war went on, they now spoiled Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't forget, there were 9 kings in battle. Are you there? Are you there? 4 won 5. You know, if America is one of them, it is no other 3. 4 won 5. And they took Lot. Interesting. Lot became one of the victuals. Goods. Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anah. They were confederates with Abraham. And then when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he hanged his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. So he had 318 men who went to do what? Verse 16. And brought back all the goods. and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him. That is, he came back with everything for Sodom. Don't forget, there were five kings, so he meets one of them. After from sort of Chedorma, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. So strangely, from nowhere, another king is mentioned. He says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. So Melchizedek was a different one. He wasn't part of the nine, but he was a king. And so we had nine kings. So the king of Sodom came to meet him. Then we have another king called the king of Salem, Melchizedek, right, which we're going to look at in a moment. So now, what was Abraham coming with? 318 men, and then the goods of Sodom. They were not his own. Remember, earlier in the first service, we said what preceded Abraham was the tithe of spoils of war. Remember that. We read that in historical books. It precedes Abraham. It's known in world history. So, he has, pay attention, he comes back. He has the spoils of war and not his salary. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not a salary. He went to war, and so he recovered 100%. He recovered all the goods that were taken. Are you following this? Are you following this? Now, are we reading the same story? Put your hands there and go to Hebrews 7. I like to always cross-check. Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. So it's the same story, right? Is it the same story? Same story. It's good to always know it's the same story. So the slaughter of the kings. So he meets a man, okay, Melchizedek. Now, that becomes a problem because people have wondered if we need to trace who he was. Because people have used this, for example, as a basis of establishing what they call tithe before the law. So, a couple of folks have said that Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. How they came to that conclusion is mysterious to me. But it's fine. I know I've taught this before. The priesthood in Christ. And I believe it's an information a lot of people don't have. We had the privilege to help someone rewrite his books, and we put that information there for him. Amen. And put his name there. Praise God. The name of Jesus. So the word priest is the word Kohen or Kehan. It means mediator or someone who ministers mediation. Someone who comes on behalf of another. Pay attention. So the Kohen is someone who is between two parties. Now what is he called him? The priest of the Most High God. And do you know why he occurs in the life of Abraham once? Do you know why? Because by verse 6 of chapter 15, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him righteousness. So he will need no more intermediary. But at this point, he came to Abraham. So he ministers mediation. Now pay attention. This word, or priest, is used in the New Testament books, pay attention now, 9 times. Not 9 times, in the book of Hebrews, 9 times. 6 times, priest. 6 times, quoting from Psalm 110 verse 4. So put your hands there, we're coming back there. Psalm 110 verse 4. Psalm 110 verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You'll find in the book of Hebrews, the word priest is used 9 times. And 9 times, out of the 9 times, six. Nine times. Look at it, Hebrews. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5 and 6. Hebrews 5 and 10. Same text. Hebrews 6 and 20. Hebrews 6 and 20. Hebrews 7 and 17. Hebrews 7 and 21. So, he's quoting the same Psalm 110 verse 4, which is a prophecy about Jesus. Hebrews, let me go over again. Hebrews 5 and 6. Hebrews 5 and 10. Hebrews 6 and 20. Hebrews 7 and, where's that one again? Hebrews 7, 17, and 21. It's one more. So the same prophecy is quoted, referring to the same person in the book of Hebrews. Now, pay attention now. You find the word priest used singularly, just one single word, 9 times. Then the book of Revelation has it 3 times. Book of Revelation 3 times. Book of Hebrews has it 6 times. Just 6 times, book of Hebrews. Book of Revelation has 3 times. Now, the word priesthood is used 5 times in Hebrews. Priesthood. The act, the practice, or culture of priest. Priesthood. Whereas Peter was the only one who used it afterwards. 1 Peter 2. A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, 9. Now, the word high priest is used 16 times in the New Testament Greek, and all the 16 times, pay attention, is in the book of Hebrews. Not once did Paul use that word. Not once. Paul didn't use it once. Not once. So, why was this so? Pay attention. Paul didn't use it once. Not once did Paul use it. And not once did Paul refer to Melchizedek. Not once. So, why was this so? Hebrews 1:1 tells us, so the book of Hebrews is where we can figure out the explanation of Melchizedek or the priesthood. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. This already tells you that the audience is Jewish. The word fathers refers to Jewish. Can be you and I. Told you many times. Abraham is not my father. Could be yours. So, this refers to Jews. God was sundry time in diverse manner, spoken time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And you have 3 people that you can see from the book of Hebrews. You have number 1, the Jews who have believed. Hebrews 4:3, we which have believed do enter into his rest. Hebrews 4:3. You have those who have believed. Where none of them will draw back, but them who believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Then you have the unbelieving Jews. Those who have not believed. They are still in this audience. Non-believing Jews. Non-believing Jews, you have them in Hebrews 10, 29. The writer of Hebrews talks about them. Hebrews 10, 29. Or 26. If we sin willfully, after we have received knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10, 26 to 29. Non-believing Jews. You also have those who were to be convinced. Those who are, that the writer is writing to be convinced. Hebrews 3, 12. Hebrews 3, 12. Take it, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3, 12. Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Hebrews 2:3. Then Hebrews 10:19-22 also paints a picture of those who were being convinced to believe. Now, in the book of Hebrews, you'll find words like temple, sacrifices, Levi, bulls, goats, blood, and things like a tabernacle. It's the only book in the epistles that has an exclusive usage of those words. Sorry, I didn't say exclusive. That has the unrestrained usage of those words, such that you will know that the audience had to be Jewish. It was so clear in the language. You couldn't communicate those kind of things to Gentiles because they didn't have temples. But this was a language communicated to Jews. So it's clear that the audience in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, were Jews, our fathers. Hebrews 11:3-2. Through faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those are words used for the Jewish nation. Is that clear? When it says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's a general word for Jews. Are you there? So that's all right. The next thing we want to look at, I said, knowing that the audience is Jewish, knowing that it also refers to the temple, you know, and so on and so forth. So, he wants to do something. The Jews respect the ministry of Melchizedek. Why? Because their father Abraham paid honor and dues to Melchizedek. So he's going to use Melchizedek to teach the Jews about Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? Are you still there? So Hebrews 7 again. Hebrews 7 is Genesis 14. Is that right? So, Hebrews 7 cannot be teaching tithe. Hebrews 7 is making reference to an historical fact. Is that clear? Good. So, Hebrews 7, let's go back there. The first thing about what Abraham did to Melchizedek was that Abraham was not asked to do it. So that was clear enough. Was that clear enough? He was not asked to do it. He did it of his own accord. The other thing you see about what Abraham did to Melchizedek was honor. Was honor. It was honor or service. He wasn't doing it to Melchizedek. We're going to see that later. To prosper. Honor. So honor wasn't for prosperity. Okay? So Hebrews 7:3, who was this man? Who was he? Now he says in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of Salem, king of righteousness, and after that the king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now you can get the materials, priesthood in Christ. These are recognizable cities. They are not spiritual cities. Alright? Now verse 3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, and made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest forever. Even Jesus did not have this kind of characteristic. You can't say Jesus is without father or mother. Then who is he? Regularly he says, my father. Right? I think so. So he's not without father or mother. So the word here is relative. Because he's well father and mother, that means he is God. No. Scripture cannot talk like this if you're talking about God. It will just tell you, God. It's not difficult to say God. Right? It's not difficult. To say God was made manifest in the flesh. Melchizedek is his name. So what does it mean without descent? Without descent here explains the word without father and mother. It is the word, alright, just spell it for you. Agenologitos. Don't bother your hair, let me just spell it. A-G-E-N-E-A-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. A-G-E-N-E-A-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. It means unrecorded genealogy. Unrecorded genealogy. What does it mean? Now, what was he discussing? He's discussing priesthood. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Jews. Who do the Jews recognize as a family that has priests? Levi. Now, he's talking about someone who is not from Levi. So he has to say, without father or mother, or without descent. What does it mean? It's not difficult. Go to verse 6. Let's take it together. And he, oh, come on, let's go. But he, everybody one more time, but he whose descent is not counted from them. From who? From, verse 5. They that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to what? The law. That is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of who? Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. So without descent would mean what? Without genealogy in Levi. Is that clear? It's not difficult. Look at verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. Let's take it together. Let's take okay, let's read it. Let's keep reading it. Come on. No. Let's take 7. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Verse 8. And here, let's come on. Men that die receive tithes. But here he receives them, of whom it is death that he lives. 9. And as Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithe where? Are you following that now? Verse 10. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Verse 11. If therefore perfection were but Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of... Now, what is the order of Melchizedek? He doesn't have genealogy in Levi. Are you listening? Not be called after the order of who? Aaron. So you understand what he's talking about after the order of? Are you listening? What is the order of priesthood? Levi. Right? Come on. Which priesthood now? Priesthood according to the law. Verse 12. For the priesthood being what? Hey, everybody. The priesthood being what? There is made of necessity a change also of the law. 13. For he, everybody, let's go. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. That's Jesus. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Does it make sense to you? So if he says he's made like the Son of God, without father nor mother in Levi. That is, his genealogy is not in Levi. Yet he is called a priest. In case you think, why would, he's arguing, how is it Jesus is the high priest? He says, well, is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was not in Levi. Do you understand? He's not calling Melchizedek God. He's saying the priesthood of Melchizedek supersedes that of Aaron, and it preceded it. He's not calling Melchizedek God. Are you there? Now, look at that term one more time. Go to Ezra chapter 2. Ezra chapter 2. Some talk about theophany. There's nothing called theophany. The word became flesh and dwelt among us in John 1:14. Ezra 2, verse 61 and 62. Let's take it together. Ezra 2, verse 61 and 62. Are you there? Let's go. And of the children of the priests, the children of Abihah, the children of Koz, children of Basileia, which took a wife of the daughters of Basileia, the Gilead, and was called after their name. Let's say 62 together. They sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. They were not found. Not, is it that they didn't have genealogy? No. They were not found in the genealogy of what? Levi. And that's the exact story of Melchizedek. 20 says, without father nor mother, or descent in Levi. His priesthood preceded Levi. His priesthood is not from Aaron. The next thing, Hebrews 7. You learning something? Are you learning something? Hebrews 7. Verse 3. Having neither nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. So next thing, having neither beginning of days nor in record. We don't know where he came from. We don't know when he ended. So he's made like, that is the way the record is. He's made like unto the Son of God. Abides a priest continually. So made like. The word made like is the word homoietes in the Greek. H-O-M-O-I-E-T-S. It's used six times and it's used symbolically. That which represents another, or that which shows how another will be. Not the same. Romans 5:14. Death passed upon all men, even over them that had not sinned after the homoietes of Adam's transgression. Who is a figure of heat that is to come. So symbolic. In the records, so where is Melchizedek made to resemble Jesus? In the records. In his priesthood. The priesthood is not like Levi. So what is going on in Hebrews 7 is the writer of Hebrews, just like it in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 1, Jesus and angels. Hebrews 2, Jesus and angels. Hebrews 3, and Moses, Hebrews 4 and Joshua, Hebrews 5 and the priesthood, Aaron. So it continues that discussion to Hebrews 7, showing you the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus to that of Aaron. And it says that if there was a prophecy that there would arise a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was not found in Aaron. Are you listening? Are you listening? All right. So what Hebrews 7, unfortunately, was not a series on tithe. But that's what many have made it to be. It was to show the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus to that of Aaron. Does it make sense? Okay. So he says in verse 13, of whom these things were spoken of pertaining to another tribe, Hebrews 7, of no man gave attendance at the altar. Verse 14, for it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Verse 15, let's go. Is yet more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. You can't use similitude for the same person. Right? Are you following what I'm saying? You cannot use similitude for, if Jesus was Melchizedek, he would use the word similitude. That already shows that there were different personalities. And then, he never said, Melchizedek is forever. No. The priest that abides forever is the Son. Hebrews 7:3. Not Melchizedek. Forever in Psalm 110 verse 4 is for the priest that will arise after the order of Melchizedek. And that is Jesus. Does it make sense to you? He didn't say Melchizedek is a priest forever. Mm-mm. Thou art a priest forever. He didn't say, Melchizedek is a priest forever. Thou art a priest. Who is that thou? Jesus. He is a priest forever, not Melchizedek. But he's a priest forever after the order of what? What is the order of Melchizedek? A priest that is not from Levi. Let me see if you understand that. Is it clear enough? Thank you. So, we've established something without much ado. Melchizedek was not Jesus. Hebrews 7:17. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Look at verse 24. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. So I say unchanging. Unchanging priesthood. So the forever, alright, Verse 16. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And don't forget, this describes the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 8, quickly. So I get out of this. And I know verse 8 is important. And here men die, that die, receive tithes. What is here? Here men that die, he's talking about Levi. But there he, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as I may so say, Levi also received tithe, paid, paid tithe in Abraham. So people say, well, Jesus received tithe just like Levi. Give yourself some brain. That's nonsense. Verse 8. Here men that die receive tithe. But here, he of whom? So the word received them. Is it Alice? He of whom it is witnessed that he lives. He's not saying he receives anything. Because Jesus does not receive anything. Jesus offered himself. The priesthood of Jesus taught in the entire book of Hebrews is not to receive, is to what? So Jesus is not receiving. Say with me, Jesus. No, say it well. I say Jesus. Say Jesus. Has never. Will never. Can never. Shall never. Might. No. Will never receive tithe. Praise God. He said the witness that he lives. Are you there? Are you there? Good. So, what have we saw there so far? Was Melchizedek a man? Was he a man? Was he a man? Did he live forever? What was about his priesthood? It was not from Levi. Good. So, what did Abraham do to him? Genesis 14. You learning something? We are still in the first column, right? Huh? Okay. So, we said that tithing preceded Abraham because it was a practice of tithing war, spoils of war. It's not difficult. If you pick a normal historical encyclopedia, you see all this I'm saying. It's not. It was a practice. Just like, you know, we looked at anointing, that the person who uses oil for the first time was who? Jacob. Which was a practice of idolatry in those days. It's the same thing. In those days, after winning war, they will offer a 10% of what the spoils of war were, they offer to deities. Or what you can call, maybe those who represented deities. Same thing Jacob did. He anointed a place. The same thing you see in Africa, they anointed a place for sacrifice. And that's exactly what Abraham did. To show honor. Praise God. It's quite strange for some. So Abraham was following a custom. A custom of those days. Go to Genesis 14. He was following a custom. Now let's unbundle this story. Let's go back again. How many kings were in question? 9. 4 against 5. Why did he intervene? Not because he liked any other kings. He intervened because his nephew was in Sodom and the king was not strong enough. So he takes 318 men and he goes to fight. And he went to slaughter. Let me repeat that one. He went to slaughter. I mean, slaughter means what? I didn't say it. You said it. It could be a spiritual word for walking in love. But he slaughtered. So what happened? He brought back the goods. Pay attention. And then, in verse 21. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Give me the persons. Take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to king of Sodom, pay attention here. What did he recover? Back verse 16. He brought back all the goods and also his brother and his goods and the women also and the people. The king of Sodom said, you know what? Give me just the persons. You take the goods to thyself. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift mine eye unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Take what is thine. What he brought back belonged to who? Sodom. It was not salary. Spoils of war. And I read to you historical facts earlier in the first service that there was something called spoils of war tithe. So, pay attention. If he gave 10% to Melchizedek, there was 90% left. Who took the 90%? It's when you are in church, English becomes a problem. When you take 10 from 100, what do you have? Bring a pen and paper and write, calculate it. Just put it like this. 100 and then put 10. Then 0, 0, 0. Then 0. It's when you are in church, a past tense is not past tense. It hath. Forgiving. Professors look like dons in front of religion. They bow. Now, what did Abraham have? Nothing. He took nothing. So, what did he give Melchizedek? Honor. Abraham had nothing. 90% to the king of Sodom. Alright? Are you there? And 10% to Melchizedek. Are you there? Okay. Abraham was prosperous. If I wasn't prosperous, he would not have won the war. So, he didn't pay tithe to prosper. The tithing principle here has nothing to do with prosperity. At all. So, it was a war tithe, and you will see it elsewhere in a moment. Genesis 13, 1 to 6. Abraham, in verse 2, he's called, Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Same thing with the man Lot. Lot was equally wealthy. He had herdsmen, cattle in verse 6 and 7. How did Abraham get money? Want me to say it again? Let's keep that for today's service. But just read chapter 12, it's very clear to you. Just marry a fine wife, that's all. Now, pay attention to this. What was the percentage he gave to Melchizedek? 10%. Moses applies something else because it's called spoils of war tithe. It's a custom of those days that when you win war, you pay 10% to deities. And he did it to the priest of the Most High God. Now, in Numbers 31, you see what I told you, that the tithe of Genesis is not the same as that under the law. Is it clear? I said in the first service. Numbers 31. Verse 25. Moses gives a different principle totally. Take the sum, verse 26, of prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief father of the congregation. Divide the prey into two parts, between them and that took the war upon, who went out of battle, and between all the congregation. And Levi, a tribute unto the Lord of the men of the war, which went out of battle. That is a tribute to the person, the Lord of the men who went out of battle. One soul of 500, both of the persons and of thieves, and of the houses and of the sheep. 29. Are you there? 29. take it of their half and give it unto Eleazar the priest for an eve offering of the Lord. And verse 30. And the children of Israel's half, and thou shalt take one portion of 50 of the persons of the eaves, and of the asses, and the flocks, and of the beasts, and give them unto the Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. This wasn't 10%, so about 1.1%. Not up to 2%. So, Moses retained a percentage for war, spoil of war, but it wasn't 10%. Do you understand what I'm saying? The percentage Moses is talking about here is not 10%. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? And they are dealing with the same thing. When you go to war. Spoils of war. So, never at any time was tithe used for prosperity. Not in Genesis at all. Abraham was not wealthy because he gave tithe. In fact, like we just said, he took nothing. At all. So, Hebrews 7 was about priesthood, not tithing. Hebrews 7 was about priesthood, not tithing. The second person was Jacob. Genesis 28. Let me stop it. Was that clear? Please look up. I like this to be very clear. I don't hope to teach this for many years. It's a stress. This is a stress. Is it clear? Very clear. You know who Melchizedek is? If you see him, you will recognize him. You will say it's Jesus. Aha. Is it clear? Is this type the same one we read in the morning? No. This is spoils of war. Do you understand? And in the spoils of war, did Abraham take anything? No. What do? You return it back to where it was taken. And take 10% as what? That's what Abraham did. But in Moses' case, it was less than 10%. Is it clear? So let's move forward. Jacob was the other person. Genesis 28 and verse 20. Obviously, from all that he had been doing, he needed help. Jacob. He fled from his brother. So he says he makes a commitment. Verse 20. He vowed a vow. If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way, that I go, and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, I will come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Oh. Did he do it? I don't think he did. Just like Jacob. No, he made a vow. We don't have a record where he did. He just made a vow. Did he do it? I don't think he did. Just like Jacob. So, we do not have. Look at this again. He said, if you will keep me, he's running from his brother, give me food, raiment, give me bread to eat. Because he was it was like a vagabond. He said, I'll give a tenth to you. Did he do it? We don't know. He vowed. Yep. In the two instances we have read, did God demand from any of them? I ask a question. Did God demand from anybody? No. It appeared like they were following the custom. Are you listening? It wasn't demanded. Let's go back to Moses. Because we have very little. How many people go to war here? Abraham's case makes no sense. All right. Now, this is important. In the law, there were three kinds of tithe. And many people don't say it. Three different types of tithe. And I'll look at you and say something to you ahead of time. The tithe wasn't 10%. Just hold on and let's calculate together. It's not a big problem. The first kind of tithe is called the Lord's tithe. Numbers 18. The tithe of the Lord. Numbers 18. So anytime anybody is quoting, they say, which one are you talking about? Numbers 18, 20 and 21. Why was this so? And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither thou shalt have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among children of Israel. I have given, verse 21, the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So, he's saying, Levi, of which I'm going to take priest, because you will do nothing but serve, I will give you a tenth of what everybody has. The Lord's tithe. And so, what happened was this. Pay attention. This is important. Joshua 21 verse 4. The Lord came out of the families of Kohites and the children of Aaron, the priest, which were the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah and out of the tribe of Simeon, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. So they had 13 cities. Verse 9 to 19. So of Israel gave by lot to the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. They gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, you read down to 19, and all the cities of the children of Aaron, the priest, were 13 cities with their suburbs. You see the relevance soon. Numbers 35 and 8. So they will dwell there. Do you understand? Because not all of them were priests. You get it? So those who were priests will stay in the tabernacle. Those who were not priests will stay in the city. So they gave them places to stay. But it wasn't theirs. Are you following? Are you following what I'm saying? Number 35, verse 8. And the cities, that's what I'm saying, all the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, them shall you give with their suburbs. And the cities which you shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, you shall give many. From them that have few, you shall give few. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inherits. So that's the point. Where they will stay. So, Levites saw this as from their own land. Now, Levites are those from Levi. Then I had priests, because priests were taken from Levi. Not all Levites were priests. We'll see the relevance soon. So, this particular tithe, go to Numbers 18 again, verse 9. Numbers 18, verse 9. Verse 9, 10, 11. This shall be thine of the holy, most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, every trespass of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be holy for thee and for thy sons. Verse 10. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Right? Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. Verse 11. This is thine, the heap offering of thy gift, and all the wave offering of the children of Israel are given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat it. So this one, they eat it where? They eat it in the temple. They eat it in the temple. Levites will eat it in the temple. Verse 31. And you shall eat it, verse 31. In every place, you and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Go to verse 10 again. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto you. So it is everywhere and inside. Now, this is what you can call, pay attention here, the Levite's tithes. It was never brought into the storehouse. This one was never brought into the storehouse. This particular tithe was never brought in. They ate it in every place, verse 31. Look at Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37. This wasn't brought to the storehouse. Nehemiah 10 verse 37. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees and wine and oil and to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God. And a tithe of our ground to Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithe in all the cities of our tillage. Verse 37. So they will have the tithe in all the cities of the tillage, not in the temple. That's the B part. So where is it? Malachi 3:10 now says, bring 10% or the tithe into the storehouse. Into the storehouse. So you have seen the tithe that's eaten out of the storehouse and the ones taken in the storehouse. They are not the same. In Numbers 18 again, verse 20, don't forget we read it, that they had no property of their own. So, go back to Leviticus 27, the one we read earlier in the morning. Leviticus 27. Verse 30. And the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the seed, fruit of a tree, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, he shall add there unto the fifth part thereof. Leviticus 27. 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd, and of the flock, and even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he changes at all, then both it and the change there shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commands Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. So, look at the distinction. In 30 to 34, which I read now, 30 to 33, he says, that passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So it's called the tithe of the Lord. It shall not search whether, so this was given to those who served in the tabernacle. So don't forget we have Levites, and we have those who serve in the house. So, there's a tithe that is for those who are not in the house, and those that are for those in the house. So those in the house, you take it to where? The storehouse. Those that are not in the house, they eat it everywhere. They are not the same. Now, follow this. So, if you are not serving, look at 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. Verse 15 and 19. Next him were Eden and Miniam and Jeshua, the Shemaiah, Amorah and Shechar in the cities of the priests, in their set office to give to their brethren by courses, as well as great as to the small. It's 19. 2 Chronicles 31. Also the sons of Aaron the priest, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by the same to give portions to all males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. So we had those who were priests and those who were not priests. Yet Israel was supposed to take care of both. Do you understand? Israel took care of both. But there were those who were in the tabernacle who were serving, priests, and there were those who were not serving. So the tithe paid played two different roles to those folks. Go to Nehemiah again, 10. Nehemiah 10, verse 37. Read that earlier. That we should bring the first fruit of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of the manner of the trees of wine of oil unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God. The tithe of our grounds unto the Levites. You see that? The priests. Now, where do we get the priests from? From the Levites. Alright? That the same Levites might have the tithe in all the cities of our... So, we have those that will take it to them where in the temple. Those other ones in the cities. Is it clear? Uh-huh. So, pay attention. Now, look at 13:10. I think so. 13. Alright, verse 10. And I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. So there's a portion for those who serve, and there's a portion for those who are not serving. So that's the Lord's tithe. The second tithe is called the festival tithe. Don't forget, the first tithe we mentioned here is given to Levi. Levites, which among them you have the priests and those who are not priests. Now the second tithe is a festival tithe. It's not the same. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1 to 19. Deuteronomy 12, 1 to 19. I don't have to read all that. Okay, let me just read two places for you. Verse 17. Now thou mayest not eat it within the gates, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, of the firstlings of thy herds and of the flock, and any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor the freewill offerings or eve offerings. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant, and the labor that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord in all that puts thine hands into. So this one was going to be eaten by all Israelites. This one is for everybody, not for the Levites. Look at Deuteronomy 14 again. But you must not, 14, let's excuse them. 14, verse 22-26. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God. Now, the first one we read, who is to eat that one? And then the priest. This one, who is to eat it? The person who owns the increase. Alright? Which you should choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, of the firstlings of thy herds, of the flock, that thou may learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, that thou art not able to carry it, if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt turn it into money, bind up the money in thy hand, thou shalt go into the place which the Lord shall choose, and shall bestow the money for whatever thy soul lost, for oxen, for sheep, or wine, or strong drink, interesting, and whatsoever thy soul desires, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God. So, and they rejoice. This one you go into the temple, and then everybody will eat the tithe. And not for Levites. They brought this one to Jerusalem. Are you there? Are you following this? Alright. So they brought this one to where? Jerusalem. Wherever you are, you come to where the temple is. And everybody, if it's far, he says you should turn it to money. Then when you get to Jerusalem, you now turn it back to what? Whatever you desire. Then you come to the temple, then you eat it. You know, it's a different one. So if what is quoting tithe for you, say, which one are you talking about? There is a tithe. So we have how many tithes now? We have 20% already. Are you not following? Okay. So, this particular one, you eat it and then you rejoice. Who is to eat it? You. You eat your tithe. We just read it now. You read it now. Was he talking about the Levites? No, he said of thine own. The Levites did not have. But he says, when you get it, share with the Levites in the temple. So don't neglect them. Just give them part of it. But you must eat it. So whatever you want, strong drink, imagine, in the temple. Now, Deuteronomy 14 now says, look at this. What we just read. It says, if it's far from the temple, convert it to what? Money. So the tithe was not what? Because of the distance, and it's heavy. So when you now get to Jerusalem, now buy whatever you like. So it's still not money. Because you cannot eat money. Get it? So you now buy whatever you like. Oxen, you know. Yeah, I can't buy oxen. Why should I buy oxen? You buy oxen, there's strong drink. I'm emphasizing that. Where are you supposed to take it? In the temple. Then rejoice. So it's called the festival tithe.
Is it getting clear?
The third one is the tithe for the poor. Is that same Deuteronomy 14? Verse 28. At the end of 3 years, now, the tithe, the festival tithe is how often? Every year. Right? The tithe for the poor, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and lay it up within thy gates. Pay attention to this. Then he says, and the Levite, because he has no part or inheritance with thee, and the stranger, two, the fatherless, three, the widow, four, that are within thy gates, thou shalt come and shall eat. They shall come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in the work of thy hand which thou hast done. So, this tithe is for who? The poor, orphans, strangers. It's once in how many years? 3 years. Look at 26, Deuteronomy 26, verse 12 to 13. When thou hast made an end of tithing of all the tithe of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing. So there's also called a year of tithing. So who grab a hold of this? You will give it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. 13. Thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of thy house, and also giving them unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the poor, the widow, according to all thy commands, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Are you following this? So we have the tithe, which is once every 3 years. The other ones are yearly. So, pay attention now. The one, if you calculate it very well, the Lord's tithe is 10%. The festival is what? 10%. What about the poor? Huh? What percentage is it? Huh? If you divide 10 in 3, what do you have? Huh? So your tithe yearly should be what? 23, that's easy. We have 20, that's clear. So we have 10% in 3 years, which will be what? Ah, why is mathematics so difficult? That's why it's called the law. So key facts. Number one thing was that in the 40 years, when this instruction was given, it was never carried out. Because the tithe or the tithing was supposed to be when they entered Canaan. That's why I said in the land. You don't call something the land when you are still on a journey. It's the land. Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. Moses' instruction on the tithe was for Canaan. Verse 1. These are the signs and judgments that thou shalt observe to do in the land which the Lord God of our fathers gives thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Deuteronomy 12, 1. Verse 5. Unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto this habitation shall he seek, and thither shalt thou come. Verse 6. And thither you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and our eve offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Verse 19. Take it to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. So basically, the tithe here was not done within the 40 years. So Moses was not around when they started giving tithe. The tithe was for the land. Are you following this? Huh? Now, if you are, now, the tithe had conditions. If they were expelled from the land, or they left the land, they stopped tithing. Look at verse 19. Sorry, chapter 12. Okay. Verse 19. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as you live upon the land. That's why when you notice, when they went into Babylon and all the captures, there was no tithing mentioned at all. It was when they returned that the issue of tithing was mentioned again. Because it's for the particular place. If they're in captivity, they cannot tithe because the tithing was for the land. Leviticus 27 again, verse 30. Again, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. Again, it emphasizes the land. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land that you have given us as you have swore unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. So the tithe was specific on in the land. So in the 40 years in the wilderness, did they give tithe? No. Because they were going to a land. It's from that land. So that means that generation never gave tithe. Are you following what I'm saying? That generation never gave tithe. It was specific for the land. And if you have listened to the law and prophets, I told you why Moses gave them the law. It was for the land. Now, the fourth thing you notice is this. In the seventh year, called the year of Jubilee, there was no tithe taking. Seventh year, or no tithe should be taken. Exodus 23. Verse 9 to 11. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know that the earth of a stranger, seeing that the strangers were in the land of Egypt, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with the vineyard and also the olive yard. Leviticus 25. Verse 3-7. 6 years thou shalt sow thy seed, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. In the seventh year shall be Sabbath of rest of the land, the Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. Leviticus 25:3-7. Thou shalt grow of its own accord, of thy harvest, which thou shalt not reap, did thou gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it's a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for the stranger that sojourns with you, and for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be. Verse 11 and 12. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow nor reap that which will grow of itself, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. Verse 12. It is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you, you shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. So there was an exemption in these particular years. Verse 22. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, it shall bring forth fruits for 3 years. Okay, verse 22. And thou shalt sow the eighth year and eat yet of the old fruit unto the ninth year, until the fruits, coming, ye shall eat of the whole store. So there was an exemption in the seventh year and the 50th year. Now, the number five thing you should notice is that the poor were not to tithe. The poor were not to tithe. Proverbs 26. Verse 12 and 13. It says, the tithe will be given to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So those who did not have were to receive. They were to receive. Leviticus 19 first. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger, for I am the Lord. Okay? So that was to be left for the poor and the strangers. They were to be taken care of and treated well. Leviticus 23 verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field when thou reapest, neither thou shalt gather any grain of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the strangers, for I am the Lord your God. Malachi 3. Verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the source of labor and point them as the gold and silver, and that may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 5. And shall come near to you to judgment, and I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the islands and the wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside a stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. So one of the rebukes in Malachi was that they were not taking care of the poor and the fatherless. Because the poor and the fatherless were such that they were to receive help. Because they had nothing to tithe from. So they will receive help. So notice again that the lost tithe was to take care of those that had no land. And the poor tithe, so there was those that had no land, Levites. Then there were those that had, they were poor. They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't take care of themselves. The poor tithe was to take care of them. They didn't give. Same way. The Levites were taken care of. The poor also were taken care of. So the poor were not to tithe. Are you following? All right. Also, Deuteronomy 24. By the time people see that the thing about the tithe was really to help others. 24. Verse 19 to 21. Not all the land was even included. Thou cut down thy harvest in thy field, and as forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of your hands. Verse 20. When thou beest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. When you gather the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. So they were taken care of differently. So if something you left over, if something was left over in your harvest, say leave it. You won't tithe from that. Leave that for those who don't have what to eat. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So now that was why, and you can see that Jesus' parents were not qualified to pay tithes because they were poor. They were poor. They were not qualified to pay tithes because they were poor. Follow this. Look at something unique. Leviticus 12, 6 to 8. Verse 6 to 8. Turn there quickly. Leviticus 12, verse 6 to 8. Says that when a child is born, okay? And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son and for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon and a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and unto the priest. Now look at Leviticus, Luke 2, 22. And the days of purification according to the law, Moses were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and of two or two young pigeons. So that was what they were supposed to bring. But notice, they didn't. They didn't. Why? Because they are poor. Jesus himself did not tithe. There's no record that he did. In fact, from Matthew 12, from what he said in Matthew 12, look at Matthew 12. Verse 1. Jesus went to the Sabbath day, threw the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. Pharisees saw and said to them, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. Then he said, verse 3, have you not read what most David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered the house of God, and did eat the shoe bread that was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and were blameless? I say unto you, in this place is one greater than the temple. So, look at Deuteronomy 23, quickly. Deuteronomy 23, 24, 25. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou may eat grapes, that thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thy own pleasure, but thou shalt not put in any vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, when thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle into thy neighbor's standing corn. So when you are hungry, obviously, from the picture painted of him, he wasn't a wealthy person. In any context, he was not. Jesus was not a wealthy person. In fact, he did not have a house. Nobody tried to squeeze it. He didn't have a house. Don't bother. He didn't have a house. He didn't have his own cult. He was not wealthy. But he was a carpenter. What was the big deal by being a carpenter? He wasn't wealthy. Neither were his parents wealthy. He wasn't wealthy. So it was, you can regard him as, some say, well, maybe he was well to do, maybe he was poor. There's no point trying to paint it in any funny way. He was poor. Because it was very clear when he died that they had to take him to exclusive area where each were buried. Or Joseph Arimathea, that decided, let's bury him among the rich. So he was not rich. Are you listening? You've never read that before? He was not rich. Jesus was not rich. He didn't have a house of his own. Amen. He didn't have a house of his own. Amen. Uh-huh. And his ministry was supported by others. They gave. If he was hungry, they gave him food. You didn't read it? Huh? So he wasn't rich. So, basically, anyway, let's wrap this up. The poor were to be taken care of. The poor were not to give tithes. The poor were to be supported. The strangers, the fatherless, and the widows. So, obviously, the tithing was to support those who had no other means of support. And also to just celebrate and rejoice. And when you are doing that, you must also remember the Levites. Is that clear? Is that clear? Very good. So go to Malachi. So kind of tithes do we have? Huh? So anybody who's taking tithes, should tell us which one is he talking about. Right? Is one of the three? Which one of the three are you preaching? Is it the tithe of the Lord? Or the festival tithe, or the tithe for the poor. Are you there? Good. Now, look at this. Malachi 3. So, which one will Malachi be talking about? Were you sleeping before? Let's look at it. Verse 8. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Which one goes to the storehouse? That there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith that the, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will be no room enough to receive it. So pay attention. So only one was to be taken into the storehouse. Now, which one? What percentage is it? There are two. Levites in the cities, then they will now take 10% of the 10%. I thought we read it earlier. They will now take it to the store, that they will be meat for those who are serving in the tabernacle. We read it now. Didn't you pay attention to it? There are those they will eat in the suburbs and the cities. Those that stay at the tabernacle, they will now take it. So you discover that people didn't take tithe directly to the priest. It was done by the Levites. Are you following? Let's go back again. Which one is for the storehouse? Meat. Who is eating the meat? The ones who are at the altar. Those who live by the altar. Those who minister at the altar, they live by the altar. So, after giving the Levites 10%, they will now take 10% and take it to the priesthood. Do you understand? Everything is for Levi. Levi will now say, take out of theirs those who are a minority, who serve in the house, they will now take it to them. So it's 10% of. Now, go back again to Numbers 18. Are you learning something? This is column 2 and 3. Right? Again, we read Numbers 18, 9 to 32. Let's just pick some verses there. Verse 11. I've given thee unto thee, unto thy sons, unto thy daughters with thee, by study forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Okay? Let's look at verse 28. Thou shalt offer an evil offering to the Lord of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts, you shall offer Eve of the Lord, and the best thereof, the allotted part there out of it. That therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have Eve the best thereof of it, then it shall be counted unto Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the wine press. And you shall eat it in every house place and your households, and it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it when you have Eve from it the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. So, there is out of what you are giving, you now take out of it. Do you understand? And give to those in the tabernacle. Quickly, let's see verse. Okay, let me just give a reference because we read earlier. Nehemiah 10:35-38. Nehemiah 12:44-47. Nehemiah 13:4-13. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 11. Alright. So, go to Nehemiah 10. We'll just do a simple addition now. Nehemiah 10. Why did Nehemiah talk about tithe? Does it make sense? Why? Because they were building. They were coming back from captivity. Okay. And it is for the land. Nehemiah 10. 35. Watch this. The firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, it is written in the law, and the firstling of the herds and of your flocks to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of God. So, this is called first fruit. You take it into the temple. Alright? Temple and the storehouse is for priests. 36. Oh, where did I start from? I shall start from 35. To bring the first fruit of your ground and the first fruit of all the fruit of all the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. 36. So that was first fruits. 36. Firstborn of the sons and of your cattle, written in the law, the firstlings of the herds and of your flocks to bring to the house of the Lord unto the priests that minister to the house of our God, to the priests. The third, 37. 37a. First fruit of your dough and offerings, the fruit of all manners of trees and of wine of oil, unto the priests to the chambers of the house of our God, and again the tithes of our ground unto the Levites. That's B. So the first one, the oil to the house of our God, that's one. Then the B part, he says to the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes where? In all. So one goes to those who are in the where. The other one to those who are in the where? Huh? Some are in the tabernacle. You take that one to them. Some are in the cities. Alright? Look at 38. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites take tithes, and Levites shall bring up the tithe of what? Of the tithe into the house of our God, to the chambers into the treasure house. So that is 10% of what? Okay. So, who was Malachi 3 talking to? Malachi 3 was talking to Levites. Because they are the ones that will bring it to the house. Are we together? Let me see if I'm following this well. Let me see if I know. Okay. You see that there are more scriptures. That's how the tithe is. So that nobody will come and quote anything from anyone. You say, which one, sir? This one is the tithe of the tithe. Malachi 3. Notice this. Verse 9 now talks to the whole nation. Why would verse 9 be talking to the whole nation? Because the instruction was for the priests and Levi. So he says, bring all your tithes and storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing, that there be no room enough to receive it. Now, the way the instructions were given, they were given to Levites and then the priest, okay, but it involved the nations, which obviously you see that the whole nation, that is Malachi, was talking to the whole nation about not taking care of the oppressed and the strangers. So the key issue in Malachi was he was dealing with selfishness, which now affected what they were giving to the Levites and then to what? The priests. That is the essence of Malachi's prophecy. We'll look at this quickly now. So notice that in the same period, pay attention now, why was Malachi a major voice? Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai were the three that talked about the house, the temple, because they were after Nehemiah. So everything was the same dispensation. Are you following this? Are you listening to this? Good. The same dispensation, which was when they came back from exile. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13, verse 4 to 13. And before Elishab, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of Israel, was allied into Tobiah, and he had prepared for them a great chamber. Let me just run. Nehemiah 13. Let me just run to verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood by of the evil that Elisha did for Tobiah in the preparing for a chamber in the courts of the house of God. It grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and either and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites, Nehemiah 13 verse 10 now, the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to their disfield. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is this the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemai, and the priest Zadok the scribe, and all the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Anan the son of Zachor, the son of Mattaniah, and they counted them faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. So they were restoring that practice of the Levites and then the priesthood. Do you understand? So that's the same dispensation where you find Malachi and Haggai. Are you there? And Zechariah. Look at Malachi 1. Start the round off quickly. Malachi 1. So the tithe was restricted to the promised land. Okay? Malachi 1. Verse 6. Who was the book written to? First audience. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? For if I be a master, where is my fear? Say a lot of us unto you. O priest, thou despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? So, this was written to priests. Verse 9. I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto you. This hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Chapter 2, quickly. Verse 1. Now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. This commandment is for you. Just run through that. Verse chapter 3 again. Verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So the instructions were to the Levites. Are you following this? So the Levites were the ones being dealt with because they are the ones that bring the tithe into the storehouse. So, if anybody wants to practice tithe, he has to, that is the second and the third column, he has to follow all these things step by step. So who will be the Levites? Who will be the priests? Let's even assume that the Levites will be those who serve. The priests will be the pastor. It's not difficult. It means that the church workers will take and they will now contribute 10% to. That's how it's supposed to be. If you follow the strict interpretation, and then there will be one that who eats the festival one? Pastors must not be part of it. We can only share. Now, you know, you can don't neglect the Levites. Okay? For the poor, that one doesn't have to be church members. Strangers. So this is not applicable at all. Because it was not written to you. So it becomes difficult. The people they wrote it to, they know how to apply it. It's not difficult for them. They know who their priests are. They know who their right is. They know who is the stranger. Who will be a stranger? Unbelievers. So that means they are tithe men for. Then if you observe that the priests don't tithe. So pastors should not be tithing to a bigger emoji. Are we? Right? Then again, notice that the priests don't own property. Maybe you want to practice it. They don't own property. Even the Levite is given, you know, to dwell in cities. They'll give them land. It's not theirs. But you can build on it. You cannot buy currency of woe. If you're a Levite, you can't have sea of woe. You can have tenancy, but not sea of woe. But if you are the emoji, you stay in the tabernacle. You must not own anything. I have it. No, you can't own jet. You can't have cow. You'll be in the tabernacle eating. Also, it's all crops and animal. I'm closing now. Crops and animal. I thought we saw that in the first service. Crops and animals. Then in the seventh year, nothing. Right? And then, so on and so forth. It becomes impracticable. It is impossible for you to tithe. That's the end. Is it difficult to understand? You see, a lot of you are just lost interest. You have to lose interest. It's called the law. I could see to your face like, just random. What is all these rules? That's the reason why it was not written to you. Hallelujah. Is it clear? So anybody demanding tithe, tell him which one. The Lord's tithe, the festival tithe, or the tithe for the poor. Are you poor, sir? No. Are you a Levite? No. I like the festival one. Hallelujah. Today we have a new and a living way. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't function like this. Our heart is not this hard. To give Lord, that means people's hearts were hard. Praise God. He had purged our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. That's what he has done. So you won't find anybody. It's so funny that, think about this. Do you know the interesting part of this issue is in the book of Acts, despite the fact that the James said Moses being read in all the synagogues, when he was going to instruct the non-Jews, he just said, abstain from pollution, things strangled and offered to idols and fornication. He said, we don't add any other thing. Let's see it. Amen. Acts 15. Wow. This subject is a stress. It's because it has become a demon. Some people are jazzed with tithes. With what we have said now, they will still look for something. I will show you the next. There's something that they will still say. That's the last session. Not today. I will explain. You will look at it. They will still come back on it. But we have answers. Grudgingly. Acts 15. Are you learning? Verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that they write unto them, verse 20, Acts 15, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. And most of all time and every city, them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Look at verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from among us, have troubled you with words. That's what they do. They trouble you. Subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such command. Look at 28. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. 29. Abstain from meat offered to idols, from blood, and from things stronger for fornication, for which if you keep yourself, you have done well. Fear you. He didn't even have tithe. How come they didn't have tithe? They never did.
Was that not a matter of the law? Huh? Why didn't you hear it? In writing to the Gentiles, because it would be funny, it's not difficult to see that the tithe was for the land. Even if you want to add it, you will not be talking about the tithe, because the tithe was for the land. So say, hey, well, the land today is where we are in Christ. Good, wait. If the land was symbolic, Melchizedek symbolic, the temple symbolic, then let the tithe be symbolic. Are we? Hallelujah. I submit to you that the tithe is actually the offering of the body of Jesus. Amen. What he gave to Melchizedek. Today Jesus is offering no high priest. He is the high priest offering himself as our mediation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they couldn't even add this. We read in the first service, Jesus said, weightier matters of the law. Oh, Jesus called it. If you want to fight like Abraham, go and fight war. Amen. Go and fight war. 2 Corinthians 8. We have a new and living way. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8. How do we give? We give by grace. Amen. The same character of our Father. That's how we give. Verse 1. Brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What was the grace? Verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. Verse 5. It is hope, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 8, gave their own life to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So it tells you in verse 9, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now, it's not talking about money. He's saying how Jesus emptied himself on the cross when he died, when he became sin, that you and I have become the righteousness of God in him. He says the same way we give. So when we give to meet the needs of others. We give by grace. We give out of the motivation of love. When you are giving in your church, giving to people, you are not giving like someone constrained by any obligation or constrained by any legality. In 2 Corinthians 9, he says in 7, every man according as he has proposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at the book of Acts, Acts 4, Acts 2. Look at how people gave. People gave as much as people needed. Nobody gave in percentages. And all these men were Jews. Acts 2, 45 and 46. You see there, Acts 2, 45 and 46. Acts 4 as well, 35. Acts 2, 45 and 46. Acts 4, 35. And 36, as men had need. One thing now arose in Acts 11, there was famine, drought in Jerusalem. Watch this. How did people give? Acts 11, 29. Please turn there. How did they give? Acts 11, 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability. Hallelujah. Determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. You know what people have done today? If there was famine in Jerusalem, they would have gone there to do prosperity convention, 24-hour miracle, seed, and say, you know why you are the way you are? It's your seed. Have you put any seed in the ground? Even in the law, the poor were not told to give. They were to be supported. Anybody attributing lack to not giving is 419. Is not true. The reason why they were able to point in Jerusalem was because they gave. Hallelujah. The church in Macedonia gave so much that they became poor. In their poverty, they were still giving. Hallelujah. I say this without apologies. They often say around the world that the church that gives the most in the world, when it comes to liberality, is the Nigerian church. See where we are. As our nation not face recession, John said it's real boats. It's Goshen. Stop deceiving yourself. Nigeria has economic crisis. It's not a strange thing in the Bible. You just saw it here. The church sent relief to the church. They did not send emojis to the church to go and collect seed. They sent the seed to them. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So when I continue, we'll look at other things. But the tithe, for me, when I look at the tithe, just like I taught in lessons from the tithe, I see more of generosity. How to take care of others. Those who don't have support. Hallelujah. That's a lesson in honor of God. That's a lesson I saw in the tithe. To honor, to support those who are weak. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we are born of God to walk in love. When we are giving, we are not looking at our own needs. We are looking at the needs of others. Look at that story in John 6. And I'll just close on that. The boy that had, when Jesus asked, do they have what to feed the crowd? And they said they didn't have. They just a small boy's meal. And I say it like this and this. I mean, if you meditate upon that story, Jesus just said, who has a meal to feed? Nobody, when Jesus asked for that meal, will have imagined he wanted to multiply it. He asked for it. So here is the boy. And I believe that wasn't the only fellow in that crowd of about 10,000 that had something. But somehow the boy gave it up. He gave it. He didn't give it because Jesus was going to multiply it. He didn't know. He didn't give it because he thought that this is going to be the death-breaking anointing. As I give it out, it's going to come back to me. He didn't do that. He just gave. And here was Jesus. Praise God. And you know something again? The boy, like I said earlier, it's not likely that he was the only one that had food. But it's likely that someone like, well, what would my own food be among this crowd? That's how some people think. Say, well, if I give 5,000, what would he do? Give first. It will meet someone's needs. Hallelujah. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied it. And everybody's needs were met. Amen. Praise God. When we give, we consider the needs and we meet them. We are not tithers. We don't tithe. Praise God. There's no reason to tithe. What are you tithing for? Are you a Jew? Even if you are a Jew, are you in Canaan? Even if you are in Canaan. What else? I don't even know what to say again. Praise God. Hope this is clear enough. Are you sure? I won't have to go through this in many years to come. Are you sure? Amen. Bow your heads, let's give God praise. Thank Him and bless Him. Oh, sing in the Holy Ghost.